Man, take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together, and we will read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. By the way, 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians, just in case you didn't know. You're welcome, Brother Barnes. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, once again, we come before you. And Lord, we need you. It really is a dark world. Really is a little bit tough sometimes to see the light. And God, I pray that you'd help us. Would you please use us? Would you allow me to step aside with my flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to anoint my lips, my mind, the words that proceed, and would you have total control? And would you anoint our ears as we listen, please, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'll give me just a couple minutes, I'm not going to probably go what you might think could be a negative direction. We're going a positive direction here. But I've got to bring a truth this morning that starts on this side, will end up on this side. So if you listen, I think I can help you. Our world seems to be less and less spiritual, more and more barbaric. By the way, by spiritual, I don't even mean godly. I'm talking about our spirit, our attitude. Everything is dark. Everything is negative. We have murder in virtually every city in America on a regular basis. It doesn't matter where you go, there's murder. We have robbery. We have violence, corruption, and you have your local terrorist of the week doing whatever he's going to do or she'll do. Good night. We have our military men that were in harm's way this week because some idiot decided that it was time to be a martyr and take a gun and go shoot up a bunch of our Marines at a recruiting station and then drive a few miles away onto a military base and start shooting again. Folks, the news is filled with violence, bad reports, and for lack of better terminology, global meltdown. Society has become blind. Let me say that again. Our society has become blind to spiritual things. You see, it seems like we have to accept everyone's beliefs except God's. You see, it's everything is acceptable except that book in Christianity. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Why is it that we can use God's name in vain, but the Islamist terrorists who murder worldwide are considered peaceful? It's not peaceful. I don't care how long the news says it, that is not peaceful. Listen to me very carefully. We have progressed in education so much that people believe in evolution, global warming, and that capitalism doesn't work, but socialism does. Welcome to higher education. Now, I'm not for being ignorant. I'm not for not learning, but I'm for learning truth, not what some God hater tells you is truth. People who were not even Christians 150 years ago, 200 years ago, still respected God and the Bible. The writers of our Declaration of Independence and the writers of the Constitution of the United States of America knew that there was something called the Creator. They did not believe man came from a monkey. Did you catch that? Well, we weren't a Christian nation. We were founded on biblical Christian principle. And even people that didn't believe, like you and me, still respected God and still respected the Word of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. Those who formed our Constitution respected God as, quote unquote, the supreme power, not just a crutch for weak people to lean on. Ben Franklin was most likely not a saved man, but he respected God and he respected Christianity. People today are blind spiritually. Listen to this. We have rewritten history to not hurt anybody's feelings so that we can go back and make the same mistakes people made before us. Let me say that again. We've allowed history to be rewritten and to block out what we call negative things in history so that we don't hurt somebody's feelings. Listen to me. So now that those are in control can go back and do the same thing. Everybody, listen to me very carefully here. I'm going to bring something up. I'll bring two issues up. I'm not necessarily a big fan of the Confederate flag, but I'm not against it either. I'm not for saying, well, that, by the way, most people don't understand the Civil War had virtually nothing to do with slavery. Virtually nothing. Less than 2% of the people in the South own slaves. You don't start a war for 2%. And if you look at the orders of secession from the Union of the states that seceded, you'll find out it didn't have anything to do with that. Now, whether it should be hung or not, that's not an issue to me. But listen to this. Us fighting over it 135, 140 years later is nonsense. It's nonsense. The issue of, and I'll just go ahead and say it, the radical colored folk who are marching against slavery, folks, there's not a black person in the world in the United States of America that's even seen slavery. They're not enslaved. Well, it happened. Okay, it happened 150 years ago. You're right. It was wrong. Very little of it is how it's portrayed. By the way, it's proven fact about 90% of them, they chose to stay on the plantations with their owners because they were like on the property employees and were treated like employees, not like what the Hollywood wants you to believe. Right. Now, whether you, and by the way, I'm not for enslaving anyone. I'm not for it. By the way, I don't care what color skin it is. I love what Brother Gus said. Once you peel off about just about two layers, three layers right here, we're all the same color, so it doesn't matter. I love what he said. We're born colorblind. Thank God. I was born colorblind, and I still am. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We have a nation fighting with each other over this mess again. We're killing each other and rioting in the streets over it. And it's a mess. Why? Because people are blind spiritually. we have rejected and discredited truth because it may hurt those who want to violate it now. My friends, truth is light. Truth is light. By the way, truth reveals error. Truth reveals error. Listen to this. It reveals it so that we can fix something that was wrong and reproduce something that is right. The reason you study history is to not make an issue of it, but let's study it so we don't make the mistakes they made before. Let's copy what did work and let's build on that and go forward. Is that not the purpose of it? I hate to tell you something. America is about to self-destruct. We are so blind. When we eliminate truth and those who did or did not follow it, we dumb down people so that leadership can come in and control more. We are doing the same thing in America that we did in the mid-1800s with what society has done. We're dumbing down people so that the government can control them. More people dependent on government means more government control. Thomas Jefferson, who helped in the construction of our country and our Constitution, said, "Any government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have away." They saw what was coming, and we don't need the Supreme Court to rewrite it. We just need to live what's there. Now, let me switch gears. People today are hardened and spiritually blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are literally blind to godly, spiritual things. Let me say that again. Our society is blind to spiritual things. This is why people are engrossed and addicted to things like zombies, finding ghosts, the Harry Potter or whatever his name is, wizardry. Folks, by the way, that is a spiritual world. It's not a godly spiritual, but it is spiritual. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. They're blind to what the truth is. That's why when you go out, knock on doors and go soul winning, every once in a while, somebody's going to get upset with you. Can I tell you why they're upset with you? Because they're blind spiritually. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand why someone would be upset knocking on the door, you answering the door, and somebody cares enough about you to make sure when you die, you don't go to hell. I don't understand why somebody could get so upset, A, get cussed out, B, door slammed in your face, C, well, that's just none of your business, we've got our own beliefs, and really tear into you. Now, I'll take that. It's happened countless times. But that's why they get upset. They're blind spiritually. I am not there to steal anybody's church members. I'm there to tell them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven someday. If they don't go to church, they're good prospects, amen? Past that, I'm not trying to do anything but try to keep them out of hell. I don't understand why somebody could get upset with me. I think in the 13 years we've lived in our house here, I think we've had two, maybe three people knock on our door soul winning. Say, "What'd you do?" "I'm a born again, saved, Baptist preacher. I'm glad you're out knocking on doors. Go get them." That's exactly what I've told them. Say, "Why?" "I've been where they're at. It can get discouraging in a hurry. I just don't want to do that." Now, This is why people get upset when you go soul winning. This is why people want to rewrite history and wipe away the truth, because the truth may not be what they want it to be. Here's issue number two. What does the United States government have interest in judging any football team or baseball team's name? We have over $18 trillion in debt. We don't need to worry about our government spending time on football and baseball team names. We need to worry about getting ourselves out of debt. We need to worry about getting the American people safe from terrorism. They don't need to be worried. Well, that might offend somebody. Well, okay. We are in the last days. I believe that. That shouldn't discourage you. That ought to encourage you. I am ready for the Lord to come back. I know they've been saying that for a long time, but I've been alive 48 years. Guess what? It's worse now than it was 48 years ago. And I know this. We're 48 years closer to it than we were in 1967. I know that. So each day we live, we're one day closer. But I'll promise you, everything's in place. The longer we go, though, the more blind Satan has made people. I want you to notice verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. God says that the devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why else would people riot in the streets like they have all over our country in the last 6 months? Pray tell me. What sense does it make to burn buildings down, to destroy people's property, and to hurt and to even kill people because you don't agree with what you think you know? By the way, none of us had enough information at the time to make a just decision. Everybody doing okay? I'm not saying that they were wrong for their decision. Let me just say this. It's wrong how they handled going about it. It's wrong. Why else would a Supreme Court make laws instead of rule on them? Why else would a Supreme Court step above God and tell you what is right and wrong about marriage versus the Word of God? Woe be to the judges that sit on the Supreme Court of the United States of America that ruled above God. We don't care what God says. We'll do what we think. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wow. You can decide. You could be like God, Eve. You could discern right and wrong for yourself. Same lie from the same devil. Listen to me. Why else would the evils of Hollywood not only be allowed, but be pumped into your family room hour by hour, and we accept it as entertainment? Why else would politicians and the news media pump lies to the people and tell you it's the truth? And please don't get all riled up at me, but it's amazing that we now have people making millions and millions and millions of dollars on something called fact-checking politicians. They actually report which ones are lying to you and which ones aren't. Say, which ones aren't? None of them. All of them do. Now, wait a minute. You have something called fact check. There's people making millions of dollars studying. Do you know how many lies you're being told? And I mean, at upper levels. Everybody doing all right? Say why? We're blind. They're only telling you what you want. They want you to know. They're not telling you the whole truth. Let me go back in history about 23 years or so, 22 years. I was out in the Long Beach, California area during the Rodney King riots. My wife and I lived in 5 blocks from our house. They were burning buildings down. This is not something I experienced by watching it on the news. We were choking on the smoke. Literally. I had led a man named Danny Sneed to the Lord. Danny Sneed was about that tall. He was about a half inch shorter than I am. He had about 60-inch shoulders and a 30-inch waist. He was the chief of detectives for the Compton Police Department. Now, if you know anything about the L.A. area, Compton is known as the devil's paradise. Compton is the south side of L.A., and it's rough. It is the roughest place I've ever been in my whole life, and don't care if I ever go back. Danny was the chief of detectives for the Compton Police Department. You saw about 2 minutes and 20 seconds of a 11 and a half minute video. The news media showed you about 2 minutes. Danny got a copy and said, "Brother Bush, I got to show you this." I had led Danny and his wife to Christ, baptized him. Their little boy was in my wife's first grade school class. Danny said, "Sit down and watch the whole thing, Brother Bush." And I did. If the news media would have showed you the whole video, you'd have a different perspective of what all took place. Be careful what you believe in the media. They only show you what they want you to believe. And it's not always all the truth. It's kind of like your kids when they came to you and said, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad," and you'd say, "Did it happen this way?" "Well, not exactly." And they only give you part of the story, and you didn't have Paul Harvey to give you the rest of the story. Let's face it, we've all been able to discolor something for our benefit. Now, right, wrong, indifferent, we follow what the jury said, we went with it, it's okay. I'm not judging that, but listen to this statement. To burn down the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buildings that they burnt down because they disagreed with a judgment is not the right way to handle the situation. That is not how you handle things. It is our job to follow the justice system, whether we agree with it or not. It may not be perfect, but it's right more times than it's not. Now, to the sermon. How has the devil blinded our world? How has the devil blinded our world? Let me read a verse to you in the book of John, John chapter 12. And I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. God told us specifically, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." You see, real truth is revealed by being saved. Real truth is revealed by the Word of God. Listen to me. The farther we get away from the Bible, the more violence, the more misjustice, and the more dumbing down we get, because we're getting farther and farther and farther and farther from the truth. And if the truth is light, the farther you get from the light, the less you see. Now, sin causes man not to see the gospel. Did you know believing the gospel is quite simple? Did you know there is nothing difficult about the gospel? But sin makes it hard and blinds us to it. We think we've got to do it our way. We have religion that says, well, you got to have a holy father sprinkle water on your head and you'll be saved. Well, I don't care how many sprinkles of water you get on your head, you're going to die and go to hell if you haven't trusted what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. I don't care how many times you come to an altar. I don't care how many Hail Marys you say. I don't care how many beads you've counted. I don't care how many times you've gone to a confessional and told somebody all the things you can remember that you did wrong and how much money you paid them. I don't care how good of a person you are, how many good deeds. That doesn't take anybody to heaven. That's man's way. Well, I've just never laid on the floor and flopped around and spoken in a tongue. Neither have I. Don't worry about it. That doesn't get anybody saved. That word tongue means an intelligent language. That means speaking in a language. By the way, it was for people to get the gospel. So we've drugged ourselves with alcohol. America is as drunken as a fish. The booze industry in America has blinded people from the gospel. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. The drug industry in America, and I hate to say this, even some of the prescription drug industry, has drugged America's mind. Who would have ever thought they would start legalizing dope? There's a reason they call it dope. You take that stuff, you become a dope. Everybody doing all right? It's just like tobacco. The government knows they can make money on it eventually and tax it, so they want to make money on you being stupid. Somebody say amen. Did you know that we have hurt our society by our immorality? Shacking up, living together, immoral dress, immoral thoughts. All of that, it has blinded people's minds. Did you know for a Baptist preacher to get up and say that a young lady and a young man ought to get married at the altar and be virgin, that's almost considered dirty nowadays? Well, just so you know, God says that's the way He wanted it. And I thank God for it. We've allowed power to blind our minds. I'm talking about politicians. I'm talking about money and business people. And I hate saying this, even religions have gotten too much power. Do you know, I don't want power over your life. I just want to preach the word of God. I'll counsel you according to the scriptures, but I have no desire to control your life. None whatsoever. So all I want to do is keep the doors open to a church, help as many people as we can, see as many people get saved as we can, and the only influence I want is with that book right there and to love on you. That's all I care to do. I have no desire to control your life. None. I'm having a hard enough time controlling mine. Why would I want to control yours? I can sit down and show you what the Bible says to help you make good decisions, and we'll follow it the best we can, and we'll get through this thing together. But may I say this, the object is not power and control. I'm talking about money. Money has become a god in our society. Folks, you got to make money. You got to pay your bills. You're supposed to pay your bills. I believe in being honest with the bills that you make. Everybody doing okay? I really do. But let me say this. Just because you have some doesn't mean you're necessarily more powerful than somebody else. You know, the ground's level at the cross. There's no wallet in the pocket of a dead man. Did you know your spirit has no wallet and it has no color? And that's what's going to either heaven or hell forever. I'm not against people making money. I think God wants you to be successful. Matter of fact, let me just say it this way. I think if you'll follow that book, you'll be more successful. I do. I think you'll be more successful. That may not mean that you're going to make $10,000 more this year than you made last year, or 20 or 30 or 40,000. But God may give you the wisdom to help you maintain what you do have and make it stretch a little farther. And because of that, God will give you a good work ethic and allow you to work your way up. I'm talking about money blinding our society. I'm talking about liberal religion blinding society. I am sick up to here with modern Christianity. Sick. Folks, if we want to dress like the world, sound like the world, and live like the world at church, why have a church? That's why God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The house of God is not supposed to look or sound like or be like the world. Anybody doing all right? That means those of us that are Christians shouldn't be like that either. I'm talking about there needs to be the Word of God, not believe whichever one you, whichever translation you like. There is but one Word of God, just like there is one Constitution in the United States of America. I said this Wednesday night, God is not the author of confusion. An author is somebody who has written something, and if he wrote more than one Bible, there would be confusion. The King James Bible is the only one he wrote for the English-speaking people. Don't worry about it. He's not the author of confusion. Now, I'm not here to debate it right now, but that's why we don't have worldly music. We're not going to have the drums and the electric guitars, and we're not going to have women wearing their britches up here and helping us with a praise and worship service and everybody jiving to the music and everybody swaying and everything else. Hey, that's worldly. That's not God's way. Everybody doing all right? That's why it's not a community church, and you come sucking on your cigarette while I give you a sermonette. No, we're going to open the Word of God. I'll plow your field if I've got to, but I'm going to do what that book says. Sometimes I'm plowing my field while I'm doing it, but may I say this? That's what preaching's all about. We've gotten into intellectual Christianity. We got Dr. I better not say what I was thinking there. Dr. Mess Him Up thinks he knows more about the Bible than God. Let me just throw this in here. Higher education is hurting more Christians and more Christianity than virtually anything I know. Listen to this statement. I am for education. Everybody understand that? I think we ought to be the most educated people we can be. But is it really education because you go sit down and listen to somebody tell you that Christianity is just a fable? The Bible isn't real. Man wrote it. And believing in evolution, global warming, and believing on all the political, social issues, that's where it's at. Help us. It's not based on truth. It's based on opinion. Real education is based on truth. Now listen to me. I have watched generation after generation of Christians get involved in secular education. And by the way, we've got Brother Mark's daughter, Casey. She's a public school teacher, and I thank God she is where she is. I am not preaching against that young lady at all. But listen to me very carefully. I've watched Christians who've worked in Christian schools. I talked to a man just on Friday. Two men that used to teach me in a Christian school got involved in a public university. Now, both of them are out of church, don't even go to church. One used to be my principal. The other used to be a Bible teacher. Say why? They have allowed their education to go to their heads. And this is what they told their church. Well, you're just too old-fashioned. You've got to change with the modern times. Well, folks, that book hasn't changed. We're not changing. We're not changing. You see, we've allowed humanism to control Christianity. That's why you have these community churches. Believe what you want. Oh, just come as you are. I won't hurt your feelings. As long as you put money in the plate, everything's okay. That's how they work it. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. So, These are ways the devil has blinded our society. Did you know that Christianity today has a dark mark on it to the world? Say why? Because people are blind. People are blind. Number two, Jesus is the light to open the spiritual blind eyes. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did you catch that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Muhammad didn't say, Buddha didn't say, no other false god said it, Jesus said it. That's why the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and in earth shall bow and confess that he is Lord. See, the issue isn't you and me. The issue is Jesus Christ. See, he is the truth. We go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, talking about Jesus being the light. He illuminates. He lights things up with the truth. Jesus is the one that will open up your eyes. Muhammad oppresses and kills. Jesus gives life and liberty. You know, the Christians, I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians. Those who live what the Bible said are not the ones going around saying, well, you disagree with me, I'm going to kill you. Do you know, I've knocked on hundreds of thousands, if not over a million doors in my life. I've never threatened anybody's life because they disagree with the Word of God. You know, I've never walked into some mosque or some church that doesn't believe the Word of God and said, oh, well, because you disagree with me, I'm going to blow you all up. That's not the way you live. You just keep spreading the truth. You do your best to influence with the truth. And hopefully they will come to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. False religion says you need to earn it yourself. Did you know salvation is a price you cannot pay? Listen to this. It's already been paid for. You can't purchase it. It's already been bought and paid for. The only way you get it is if you receive it as a gift. You see, there was only one price to be paid. And only one could do it. And you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You're not worthy of it. But God's willing to give it to you if you just take it. Boy, that's a good statement. It's not a business. And you keep buying stock in it until you have it. It's a gift. Salvation is free because Jesus paid for it and owns it. Did you know Jesus owns salvation? And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I already paid for it and I'm going to give it away free. Nobody could buy it. You can't even buy stock in it. You can help me give it away, but you can't buy it. What a wonderful deal, amen? If you get saved, not only do you get it, but you help to give some of it away. What a deal. You say, how do I get it? Well, first of all, you got to realize you're a sinner just like every other human being. Second of all, you got to realize there's a price on sin. That price on sin is death and hell. You can't separate the two. It is your body dying, but it's also an eternal death in a place called hell. But you have to realize Jesus paid that price. He came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died at Calvary, and not only that, they buried him, and he resurrected from the grave, took his blood, put it on the mercy seat in heaven. He died as your lamb, resurrected as your high priest, and the price was paid. My wife and daughter and I sat Friday at noon at lunch with my brother and my sister-in-law. Her mama's dying. My brother looked at me and, oh, I'm guessing 15, 20 years ago, Tam's mom got saved. Oh, what a glorious day. She was a hardened person to the gospel. And I mean hard. We prayed for years and years and years and years and years for Jackie to get saved. She ran out of church. We finally got her coming to church, and she'd go to church till the invitation. Then she'd run to the bathroom. Because she was under so much conviction, she couldn't sit through the invitation. Tam looked at her one day and said, "Mom, why won't you get saved?" She said, "Because if I get saved, I have to believe that probably my mom and dad are in hell and I won't be with them." My brother looked at me and he said, "Craig," he said, "this is hard enough when you know somebody's going to heaven. How do people do this when you don't know they're going to heaven?" He said, "I just can't imagine that." Ah, thank God for a place called heaven. Thank God for that day when Jackie got saved. I was able to help comfort them a little bit. Jason's daddy just passed away here a couple weeks ago, and I told him, I said, "Doc, I know it's a little vain right now, but thank God for a place called heaven. It doesn't fix it, but it sure does give you some hope." So, first of all, you realize you're a sinner. You realize there's a penalty on your sin and that Jesus paid for that price. And fourthly, realize you can't pay for it and you've got to receive it by faith. Jesus gave you the faith even to get saved. As all you have to do is accept what he did for you to take you. You say, "Well, I don't deserve it." None of us deserve it. Not one of us. Say, "Well, preacher, you do. You're a good person." I'm as dirty or wicked or rotten as a sinner as you are. I may not have done what you have done, but you sin one time, you're a sinner. And I have sinned. Nobody's perfect. So all you must do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. Thirdly, and I'm done. It's our duty to take the light, the truth, to people everywhere we go. Look at me. Remember the little children's song? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." You know the verse? "Hide it under a bushel." No. "I'm gonna let it shine." "Hide it under a bushel." No. "I'm gonna let it shine." Folks, you have the light. Let me ask you a question. Are you giving it out to anybody? Or are you hiding it? Are you trying to cover it up? You see, a blind person sees by the words and the help of another. Did you know that blind people can't see where they're walking? Brother Stoltz, come on up here. I want you to close your eyes as tight as you can. I'm going to spin you around. Close your eyes. Turn around. Now I want you to walk and try. And by the way, I'm going to see if you're peeking. No peeking. See if you can figure out where you are and get there. Yeah. Don't worry. I wouldn't send you towards the steps. So you're okay that way. Okay. You see, if somebody could help him, though, Brother Stoltz, turn to your right. Stop. Come towards
my voice.
Sorry, PA messed him up on that one. Keep coming. You're there. See, I was able to direct him by my words. I could also say, "Brother Stoltz, put your left hand out, reach up and touch left hand on my shoulder. Now follow me and just keep your eyes closed," and I can lead him that way. Stop. Did you know? Thank you. You can open your eyes and sit back down. Did you know that's how you lead a blind person? When I was in a church in California, we had a blind man that came. He played piano. An amazing fella. He was like 3 days old, and they put the wrong eye drops in the baby's eyes, and it burnt his eyes to the point where he never saw again. He spent virtually every day of his life totally blind. And we're talking about a guy with a very unusual personality. He played piano. He couldn't read music because he couldn't see it. he didn't read notes. But he would play Jesus Loves Me around the world style. So he would play it Chinese style. And then he would play it Russian style. And then he would play it Polish style for the you white-haired people, polka style, amen. Then he would play it in a cowboy style. Then he would play it in, just all the different. He could take you around the world playing the same song. It was amazing. Then he said, I can't see color, but I can hear color. And then he would play the piano based on color. And you could almost see the color as he was playing. It was amazing. Bobby was as blind as they come. I mean, couldn't see a thing. I'd be taking him somewhere and he would say, Brother Bush, he said, you want to hear something funny? I said, sure. He said, you're unusual. He said, so far, you haven't done what most people do. I said, what do you mean? He said, you have me staying certain place. He said, most people try to tell me where the light switch is. He said, doesn't do me any good. He said, I just smile and say, okay. He said, I never turn one on. He said, because it's always dark for me. He said, yeah. And just strange things like that we don't think about. We made a hospital visit. Now, he couldn't see, but his ears were unreal. He heard things most humans never hear. We stopped and asked for directions. We were making a visit in the hospital. We had a young lady who had been moved in the hospital, and I wasn't quite sure where she was. And as we walked away, he has his white cane, and he had the black glasses on, and he was holding on to my shoulder. And one of the nurses kind of, I didn't hear it, but he did. She laughed at him. He said, hold on, Brother Bush. He turned around and said, ma'am, are you laughing at me? I didn't know what, all of a sudden he just went off. Say, what'd he do? Then he said, Brother Bush, get over here. I said, yes, sir. He said, open your Bible, Romans 3:10. He started going through the gospel as I'm showing this lady the scriptures as he's talking. He ended up winning that nurse to the Lord because she laughed at him. Amen. He said, I'm blind. He said, but you're spiritually blind. He said, I'm going to heaven. And if you died right now, you're going to hell. We walked away. He said, Brother Bobby, I can't believe you were that rough. He said, I can't believe she was that rude. He said, God's used my blindness. He was on two planes that were hijacked. Remember the plane that was hijacked in Tehran back in the 1970s? He was on that plane. He's been on one plane crash. Got off of a plane that crashed. He's a remarkable fella. Totally blind. You know how you would lead him? You'd lead him with your voice, or you'd lead him with letting him, and you would just guide him. Can I tell you something? When you go soul winning, you take the Bible and you guide people through the scriptures and so show them what God says. And if they'll follow it, that's how simple it is to go to heaven. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll be honest with you. I was a little intimidated the first time I took Bobby out. I wasn't sure how to do things. I let him tell me how to help him best, and I did it. Now listen to me. Soul winning is taking the light of the gospel to a lost, dark, dying world. Let me say this, and I'm done. Hell is a place of total darkness. It's a place of burning, a place of fire, and a place of total darkness and blindness. I'll be honest with you. I don't want anybody to go there. There's not a human being on the face of the earth I would like to see die and go to hell. Not one. You give me a number one terrorist in the world, and I think he deserves to hear the gospel. I believe Adolf Hitler deserved a chance to hear the gospel. By the way, he did, and rejected it, as far as we know. If you're lost, you've been given the light today. You have been given the light so that you could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I just can't see it. You're right, you can't. You're going to have to trust somebody that can. And your eyes will not be illuminated till you trust that light. By the way, can I tell you something? Heaven is light. And do you know who the light of heaven is? His name is Jesus Christ. He will illuminate heaven. And until you trust Him as your Savior, you never will see it. You must trust Him. If you are saved, I don't know how else to say this. We don't have much time. We don't. As in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, we're there, folks. And there are people dying and going to hell all around us, and we've got to take the gospel everywhere we go. Well, I'm just afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid they'll die and go to hell. How about you? I'm not saying you're going to see everybody saved you talk to, but you got to at least give them the light. Give them a chance. Throw out the lifeline. Take the light of the gospel and shine it and say, here it is. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. We're going to let it shine all over. Is that not what it's all about? I drove by a church that at one time ran 10,000 people. It's a rock and roll church. Believe what you want. We've had more people saved in 1 year in this church than that church has seen in the last 5 to 10 years. We were within 4 miles of another church, and I have some old high school acquaintances that still go there. Church that ran 6,000-7,000 people. It's not even a Baptist church anymore. It's a community church. No standards, no soul winning. People dying and going to hell that even are members there. I'll be honest with you, my heart was broke. It was broken. No, we may never run 10,000 someday, though I think we could. But our job isn't to worry about numbers. It's to go out and shed the light everywhere we go and get as many people saved as we can. Bring them back here to heal them up a little bit, teach them up a little bit, and send them back out with us, shoulder to shoulder, telling everybody else that we come in contact with to get saved so that they can go to heaven someday. Isn't that what it's just all about? The devil has blinded us. The devil has blinded us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not here to be mean, unkind, or anything else. But I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. There are some that did not go up, and thank you. You can care for it right there in your seat. You've heard the gospel. In your heart, all you need to do is tell Him. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. Been trying to pay it myself, but I can't. I'll trust You. What You did for me to take me to heaven. Is there one that would say, preacher, that was me, I did that. Would you raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you. All right. Maybe we've sat in church so comfortably that we've forgotten to take the light. Say, preacher, somewhere in there, I've been a little convicted. There's something in my heart, my life that I needed. And I realize it today because of what was said. Would you raise your hand? My soul, scores and scores of hands. This altar today is the music begins in a moment ought to be full of Christians willing to take the light. Well, I don't know how. You show up, we'll take somebody that knows how and we'll teach you and we'll show you. But it's our job, this little light of mine.